Welcome to the Adoption Experience with Lynn Grubb. Thanks for rejoining me. Today I want to talk about adoption in the news because there's a lot of things going on. However, I do want to tell you about this really cool concert I went to last night. It was the second Beethoven symphony with the Dayton Philharmonic Orchestra. I went with a few ladies and I had a better time than expected. I generally don't go to orchestra concerts, but there was a special guest, and his name is Sterling Elliott, and he is a very young man, 23. He actually missed his graduation, Juilliard, to perform here in Dayton at our Performing Arts Center downtown. It's called the Schuster, and he is going to be there again tonight. So if you're listening today, which is May 20th, 2023, he will be back tonight, so you can still get tickets. And I wanted to recommend him. He's very, very talented. He played an amazing song that with his cello, mainly plucking it. It sounded like a guitar. It was so cool. I can't say enough good things about him. I stayed after for the Q&A, and he's just charming and down to earth and just a really neat person. Sterling Elliott, check him out if you like the Philharmonic and you see him come to a town near you. So some of you might remember the name Adam Crasper. He is a Korean adoptee that was deported in 2015 because he committed a felony. And the law, his parent, adoptive parents did not provide him with the proper citizenship papers. And unfortunately, he was kicked out of the country and was living in Korea away from his wife and kids. It's a very, very sad story. And there was a movie made about it, his situation without his permission and without his involvement. It's called Blue Bayou. I did go see it because I was not aware of all the controversy until later. But apparently, the Korean adoptee community was very unhappy with the fact that Adam was not contacted for permission or given any input into the film. And it appears that the film was, what they do in Hollywood. They don't tell the whole story. They add a lot more drama, which this story has a lot of drama on the face of it. However, they just didn't handle it properly. So the adoptee community requested that people boycott the film. So I was reading a Washington Post article titled, "The U.S. Deported Him. A Korean Court Says His Adoption Agency Owes Him." Well, of course, that got my attention rather quickly because it's pretty rare for an adoption agency to be held accountable. Adam Crasper was brought to this country from Korea when he was 3. His first adoptive parents relinquished him, and he had a second set of adoptive parents, Thomas and Dollar Crasper. Unfortunately, they abused him and their other adopted kids and were later convicted of criminal mistreatment and assault. But despite all this, Crasper built a life for himself, opening a barber shop and becoming a stay-at-home dad. He was later convicted of burglary for breaking into his former adoptive parents' house to retrieve a Bible and rubber shoes he brought home from South Korea. And he was convicted for unlawful possession of a firearm. Unfortunately, because of all the failures of the Korean government, Holt International, which is the adoption agency, and the US government and his adoptive parents, all of that collided to have him removed from the country. And so he decided to sue. And it looks like he won on one sense because the adoption agency was held accountable. The Korean court determined that he was owed $200,000. Oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong. $75,000. And unfortunately, the government wasn't found liable, although it's very evident that they knew that these types of adoptions were happening, and at least 200,000 Koreans, they've estimated, had been adopted by Americans, and many of those did not get the proper citizenship and are at risk for deportation. There is a recommendation that the Adoption Citizen Act be put in place. I'm going to put a link in the show notes so you can look up that information and talk to your legislators about getting that passed. I know it's been an ongoing thing because so many adoptees whose parents don't, these are international adoptees generally, the adoptive parents do not submit the proper paperwork to protect them and make them citizens. And that is a giant loophole that should not be allowed to occur. Kids, if you're going to bring them here from another country, you better make sure that they're protected and safe. So this is just unconscionable, and we need to address this problem immediately. In the Washington Post article, Peter Moeller, a Danish lawyer who was adopted through Holt, was quoted after finding discrepancies in his own record that the ruling in Crosper's case can be used for other adoption cases, potentially paving the way for additional lawsuits. He leads the Danish Korean Rights Group, which has submitted adoption cases to South Korea's Truth and Reconciliation Commission for review. The commission is investigating 372 adoptions to determine whether human rights violations were made. In other news, North Dakota's Republican Governor Doug Burgum has signed a bill into law to protect tribal cultures by codifying the Federal Indian Child Welfare Act, also known as ICWA, into state law. The ICWA was enacted in 1978, giving preference to Native American families in foster care and adoption proceedings of Native children. This law is under attack by the Supreme Court, and will be we fear that it'll be overturned. And the issue revolving around ICWA is a handful of white families have claimed the law is based on race and is unconstitutional under the Equal Protection Clause. They also said it puts the interests of tribes ahead of children. The lower courts have been split on this case. But what I think is great about this and why I wanted to highlight it is that North Dakota just took it into their own hands and said, we are going to honor this law. We're going to protect our native children, and it's going to be the law of the state. It appears there are some other states that are going to follow suit, and this could be a good thing. It looks like Montana, Wyoming, and Utah have considered codifying the act this year as the U.S. Supreme Court considers a challenge to the federal law. U.S. News and World Report ran an article called Supreme Court Skeptical of Man Who Offered Adult Adoptions. Apparently, this guy was trying to convince people that via adult adoption they could bypass the immigration laws. The case is called U.S. v. Helaman Hansen, and the Supreme Court is expected to rule on it by the end of June. Now, I've heard of a lot of adoption scams, but this one kind of takes the cake. Charging people money to give. To adopt them, like how many people could you realistically adopt as an adult? I don't know. I'm not familiar with the law, but I find this a very interesting case. Looks like Hansen was convicted of encouragement charges as well as fraud charges. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the encouragement charges and another 20 years on the fraud charges. But a federal appeals court ruled that the law on encouragement is overbroad and violates the free speech clause of the First Amendment and just overturned the convictions. So we shall see how this pans out, and I will give you an update during another podcast. Some of you know that I do CASA work, which is a national program. CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate. And usually it's run through the local juvenile court. And I've been deep diving into adoption and kinship, things that can help families. I couldn't think of the word. Things is the only word that came to my head. Anyway, we have this program called Ohio CAN in Ohio. And it stands for Kinship and Adoption Navigation. And so there's the state is split up into counties, and there are kinship navigators for each area. And I was speaking with one yesterday, and she was giving me the lowdown on some of the programs that they help Ohio citizens with. And I wanted to cover several of those because they were new to me. So when a relative takes custody of a child, and it's final custody, not temporary custody, but legal custody or whatever it's called in your state, but in Ohio it's called legal custody, you are then eligible for KPIP, KPIP, and it is money that you will get, you can apply for every 6 months. There are eight payments. It is through the local child services. They do look at your family income, but the poverty guidelines go up to 300%. So that is something. KPIP stands for Kinship Permanency Inclusion Program, I believe. I might have written, I abbreviate a lot of notes, so don't quote me on that. And then another money benefit that you can get if you've adopted a special needs child is called PASS, PASS. Do not ask me what it stands for, but it's managed through the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. However, the kinship navigators at Ohio can help you with the application process. And what it can provide you is $10,000 per year, or for therapy and things that aren't covered under your insurance, and then $15,000 a year for residential treatment if your child needs it. So those are a couple programs that Ohio can give you further information on and even help you in some cases with applications. So I will put a link in the show notes to their website. Check them out. We're really fortunate to have this program to help kinship and adoptive families in Ohio. I also learned about this program called Justice Mobile, or also known as the Legal Bus, which the visual of that made me chuckle, like attorneys riding around on a bus stopping to talk to people. But that's pretty much what it is. You get a 15-minute free consultation, and I think it's a great idea because, legal representation is costly and out of reach for many, and legal aid just can't get the help to people that is needed. They're very picky about which cases they can take, and so I think this Legal Bus or Justice Mobile is a great idea. I haven't done a deep dive into it, but I wanted to mention it for anybody out there who is looking for some legal help that, and you just don't know where to turn next. Give Ohio CAN a call. They can point you in the right direction. For those of you out there who love genealogy, I wanted to share with you that about Roots Tech. Roots Tech is claimed as the world's largest family history conference, and it is put on by Family Search, which is a free website that you can sign up for at familysearch.org. And Roots Tech happens every year, and it started being streamed online in 2020. That's when I first started attending, and there are just some amazing workshops and keynotes and all sorts of things that you can learn about genealogy, finding your roots, all of it. And the entire conference for 2023 is available now. It has been for a while, but I've been busy with, daughter graduating stuff, and I'm just now getting caught up to it. So it's familysearch.org/rootstech. If you go there and you sign up for a Family Search account, again, it's free. You can see any of the You can stream any of the talks that were had at Roots Tech, and I highly recommend it. Check it out. It's one of the best resources out there for genealogy. All the experts, the best of the best in the genealogy world attend. And if you're interested in genetic genealogy in particular, which is my interest, you'll find a lot of things to offer there. And I actually attend a virtual genetic genealogy group every month. And if anybody is interested in that group, you can reach out to me at theadoptedgenealogist.com and I will share a link with you. We would love to have more people. The person running it is amazing. I'm really excited for this Sunday night's class. It's pretty much everything Ancestry, every kind of thing that they offer, all their new things on Ancestry. We're going over those Sunday night virtually. So if there are any other genealogy fans out there, please get in touch with me. I recently went to check out the website at the U.S. Department of State, and it looks like they've made a updated notice about intercountry adoptions from China. Now, their original notice was dated November 17th, 2020. There is a suspension of intercountry adoptions from China. I guess there's a lot of questions from adoptive parents who were in the process of adopting. And they say we have no updates on the status of intercountry adoption from China. We understand hundreds of families are still pending completion of their adoption, and we strive to provide PAPS with up-to-date information as it is provided. So that is another, I mentioned, I think, a couple episodes ago that I was on this website, and this they continue to put out messages that intercountry adoption is suspended. They're also advising people to refrain from arranging travel, so related to adoption. So if you know anyone who's trying to adopt from China, that is the latest update on the State Department's website. So that wraps it up for today. Thanks for joining me. And I really dig focusing on adoption in the news. So I think this is going to be something that I talk about on the regular. There's always something to learn, there's always something happening. And I haven't found a source yet that compiles a lot of this. So maybe I will continue to be that source for you. If you're a regular listener, I thank you. And anytime you want to reach out to me and discuss or make suggestions about what you would like to see on this podcast, I am open to that. Please email me at theadoptedgenealogist@gmail.com. Thanks, and I'll talk with you all next week.